My name is Emma Wynn. I'm the program director out at Camp Nunavik, and our team is just so blessed to be here today. We are so excited that we get to worship with you and we get to know some of you guys. I was going to stand at the pulpit, but I think it might look like I'm hiding behind it, and I don't really want to fall off of a step stool, so I think I'm going to stick with this today, if that's okay. We're going to get into our scripture for today. So I would invite you to stand if you are able, and let us just, read the Word of God together. Our scripture comes from Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the pleasures of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not by your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of God. You may be seated. So like I said, my name is Emma Wynn. I am the program director at Camp Nunavik, and thank you so much just for welcoming us into your doors this morning. I am so encouraged when I walk into other NBA churches, and I just feel right at home. Last night we had the NBA worship night where we got to see a whole bunch of different congregations come together and worship as what I call extended church family. As the body of Christ. And I just thought to myself, heaven isn't going to be like White Shell Baptist, or like White Ridge Baptist, or like Rowandale Baptist, but it is just going to be this beautiful picture of all these different people coming together because we are God's children, because he has created us, and we belong to him all together. So that was just a beautiful thing to witness tonight, or last night, and once again, walking into these doors and being like, wow, this is amazing. It is amazing that I get to see more of God's kingdom through this church family. So thank you for having us. Before I get started, I want to share a little bit about myself so that you get to know me. And hopefully I can get to know some of you today too. So I have grown up in the church family of White Ridge Baptist in Winnipeg. And I've had the privilege to work in many different ministry areas, such as children's men. I'm a youth leader to a group of, I think, around 8 to 10 junior high girls, with my friend Rachel, who's playing bass today. I play on worship teams. I have a BA in music education. I'm very passionate about music and worship. And I'm very passionate about camp ministry, as you can imagine. Despite my involvement in the church, I would have never imagined going into camp ministry full-time. That was not really on my radar. But the Lord has placed a passion in my heart for building his kingdom, for loving his children. And he's just so graciously closed and opened doors in my life to guide me where I am today in this role. Camp has always had a close place in my heart since I was 8 years old, and it really helped build the foundation of my faith. My desperate need for Christ in my life passion for his word, and the support of my brothers and sisters in Christ has led me to this opportunity of developing camp programming to introduce the gospel to kids and equip our young believers with tools to help them grow in their faith. Camp Nunamik's mission is to reach kids, grow disciples, and develop leaders. We do this through the incredible experience of summer camp, where kids get to come try new skills, meet new friends, and they learn about God. In chapel and fireside, we gather together, and we worship and we sing until I think the roof might blow off. I don't know, it's an old building. During our devotional debrief times, our cabin leaders answer questions that the kids have from Scripture, and they provide application questions for the kids to really apply the word to their personal lives and understand the character of God more. Our staff are encouraged to share their faith through everything that they do, whether that is pointing to God's amazing creation on a bike trip or sharing how God has worked through their lives, sharing their testimonies and their life circumstances. Beyond classic camp, we as a camp really focus on discipleship, especially through our leadership programs. We want to equip our young people, your young people, with the skills for peer mentorship, having a servant's heart for God's kingdom, and confidently sharing the gospel with both kids and adults alike. We want to train our campers to be Christian leaders in their communities, in their churches, in their schools, all being equipped with a foundation in the Word of God and a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So one of the tools that we use to share the gospel with our campers is through our summer theme. Having a theme allows us to focus on a specific piece of scripture that points to God's love for us. The process of developing our summer theme starts with a whole lot of prayer and asking God for vision and wisdom as I look through scripture to find a verse or two that will shape our entire summer program. In my morning devotion time with God this past summer, I was going through Ephesians when the Holy Spirit inspired me with just excitement and joy over a couple of verses. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 5 says, I'm going to read the NLT version. Even though believers were spiritually dead in their sins, God, rich in mercy, made them alive together with Christ. And this salvation is a gift of grace, not earned by works. In Ephesians 2, Paul is talking to the churches in Ephesus, preaching to both Jewish and Gentile people, two separate groups of people that are now navigating being in a unified church body where the old law no longer separates them. The old law being what set Israel apart as God's chosen people. Paul is preaching that all people are now unified through Christ, becoming one who were all considered spiritually dead in sin. But by the gift of God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, they are made alive through Christ Jesus. Now, for the Jewish audience listening to Paul, personally, I imagine that this would be quite shocking, as Paul is telling them that salvation is not exclusive to them as God's covenant people, and that the old law, it has been fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the old law, and now the new law has been established. The Gentiles in the crowd, I imagine, would have been just so excited to hear Paul's words because they no longer had to adopt Jewish law, and they weren't considered outsiders to the covenant promise. Everyone is partakers in the hope that Jesus brings. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Paul is laying down the groundwork, explaining exactly why we need Jesus in these first couple of verses. Because of sin, we can be driven by the flesh and disobedient to God's will. Sometimes I have to look at my own heart and I have to separate what is spirit-driven and what is flesh-driven. What are my motives? Did I do something good for God's glory or for my own? Am I working super late at night because God wants me to, or am I giving in to my own anxiety? Am I trying to gain control over my own life? This part of Paul's message also just reminds me of the picture of baptism. As Christians, we are invited to get baptized to publicly declare that we are dying to ourselves, to our flesh, and we are made new in Christ. And this work has already been done in our hearts. We go under the water, we leave our sins and our old selves behind, and we come up living new life that is centered, it is focused on Christ. A part of understanding the love of God is we must fully understand what the weight of sin is. Now I know that sounds scary, and I'm not saying that we have to feel the weight of guilt, of shame, but we have to have our eyes open to see what is not glorifying to God. Living in a broken world that is corrupted by sin means that we are tempted by it. Living according to the flesh and not in step with the Holy Spirit. Even as Christ followers, we fall short all the time, whether it is by our own conscious choice or simply the sinful nature. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. That is the price that must be paid for something that is apart from God. So when Paul says that we are dead in our trespasses, he means we are dead. We are set apart from God, the creator of life, the one who puts breath in our lungs. So what is it that separates you from God? Maybe it's guilt. Maybe you have some things that you need to surrender to God, to hand over. Recognizing our sin and understanding how that separates us from God. It is such a crucial part of the gospel story. This isn't about falling into shame about our old selves. This is about surrendering our flesh daily, every day, and asking God to transform us from the inside out. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. When we are sharing the gospel story with our campers, we want them to know who God is, that he's created us. He's created them. He loves them. We want them to know the problem that sin causes in our relationship with God and the freedom that is found in Christ's sacrifice. God loves us like his children. He loves you as his child. He's created you. He knows all the parts of our being. He sees the depths of your heart and of mine. He sees every part of our heart that doesn't desire him. Do you ever not desire God? He sees the parts of our hearts that turn away from him. And yet his mercy is so great that he would open his arms with grace, inviting us to surrender our undesire for Christ and have new life. Ephesians 2, verse 6 to 8 says, "And God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Paul is emphasizing that even with the stains of sin, because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross and beat death, by rising from the grave, we are able to have eternal life with God when our time on this earth is done. There is no price for us to pay. There is no worth to be proven. There is just relationship with our Heavenly Father because He has made a way. I don't know about you guys, but I really appreciate having a good handle on the state of my job security, of financial security. I like to feel like I am on solid ground. Everything is figured out. This gift from God is greater than any job security or financial security. This is heavenly security that we are sitting on. If we're declaring that God is the rock of our life, and if we are maintaining a growing relationship with our Heavenly Father because He loves us, He has given you eternal security in Christ as we experience God's kindness every day and forever beyond this little life. Isn't that just amazing? For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul is reminding us that this is not our own righteousness that is saving us from paying the price of sin, but it is only by the grace of God. Verse 9 says, not by works so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our salvation cannot be earned. Not only do we have this new hope, but we have a purpose. Each of us with individual gifts and designs that God has created to glorify and to enjoy Him with. Just like a sponge without water, without Christ, we were dry and shriveled up, unable to pour out life. But immersed in new life with Christ, we are no longer dead and brittle, but we are renewed. When a sponge overfills with water, what happens? It spills out, yes, absolutely. It spills out to everything around it. Just as God wants us to be overflowing with His Spirit so that we can do good works that point back to Him. So how can you display Christ-likeness pouring out onto others? Our time spent with the Lord allows us to grow in Christ-likeness, which others will experience and they will witness. When you look at your everyday interactions, how do you see Christ reflected? Think about the condition of your heart. How do you want God to continue transformation in your heart so that you can be a better reflection of Christ for the rest of your life? I think about this in the context of many of my friendships. I have to think about how do I treat my friends? I ask God to reveal what is not Christ-like in my interactions, what is not pointing them back to Jesus that I can surrender to God. And this is not an overnight transformation, but it is a deepening of understanding God's character day by day as I am spending time with Him. I don't want you to get the impression that I do that perfectly or consistently either. I am fighting the same battle that each and every one of you, each and every Christ follower battles of prioritizing time with God and having that be the purpose of my work, of my day, of my life. The goal when you're in ministry, the goal is never ministry. The goal is to sit with my Heavenly Father, to know Him, to have the relationship with God be the point. And that is just so exciting that we want to share that with others. And that is where the ministry comes into place. We want our campers to know that God, He has created them with a great plan, with a purpose ahead of them. And furthermore, He loves them. Nothing we can do will earn us the favor of God. His love is freely given. When our campers arrive each week, yes, we do have the goal of sharing the gospel and having them know Christ, because that is the greatest gift. But a way besides fruitful conversation, we want them to know Christ through the love that we show to them, that we are equipped with by the Holy Spirit. Showing love not by our own strength, but by the Spirit. Anyone can show kindness or gentleness. It's not about striving to be more like Christ, but allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us as we develop spiritual fruit through life in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." I think about an example that was given to me in the instance where a man said, "I want to be less greedy." But wouldn't it be more effective to say, "I want to be more generous"? God wants to give us his generosity so we can share it with others. You can't overflow with the Spirit if you have not taken time to live in the Spirit. We become like who we spend time with. Through our new life in Christ, he will use us to bring glory to him, to share his kingdom to all people of every nation and age who wishes to receive. So what does being alive in Christ look like for you? For myself, that looks like trying to live in the Spirit every day, trying to start my day with the Lord, keep learning from his word, and asking his Spirit to guide me through each and every situation. Going for coffee with a friend? Okay, Lord, will you show me more of your character through this conversation? How can I show more of you through this time? Or maybe through times of trial and pressure, I'll say, God, how are you using this time to refine me and to show me more of your goodness? I know that even though I have dedicated my life to Christ, I will still battle sin in my life every day. So when I come to the place of recognizing the sin in my life, I may feel guilty and I may confess that to God. And even then, he will use that to humble my heart and to draw me closer to him. God does not waste time. He does not waste any opportunity for us to grow closer to him. Being alive in Christ doesn't stop at the forgiveness of sin, but in God's continuous presence, in his teaching in our lives, and allowing his Spirit to work in us. We get to experience life in Christ daily. So what does that look like for you? Maybe that is peace in the storm. Maybe that is having joy in seasons where there is no happiness. Being Spirit-driven at work, at school, with your family. Do you know your shepherd's voice so that you can follow that? So how does being alive in Christ allow us to share the good news with others? How often do you get the chance to talk about Jesus? These opportunities often show up when you have taken the time to build a relationship with people, enough that they see Christ-likeness and the Holy Spirit in you. It is so beautiful once those relationships have been built so that you get the opportunity to invite someone into having life in Christ. Maybe those relationships can be formed at your workplace, in your community, at camp, where we build relationships so rapidly. There's just so much opportunity to share the gospel and show what it is to live an empowered life in Christ. We want our campers to see Spirit-driven believers who show love to them with their whole hearts. Maybe you're looking for opportunities to step into a new experience in sharing God's love. At camp, we have so many different ways of getting involved. and using gifts. I would invite you to just pray about that, to check out our various staff and volunteer opportunities. We have so many different roles that need to be filled with different giftings each summer, varying from health officers to kitchen help, maintenance, lifeguards, cabin leaders, leadership, you name it. We would love to connect with you after the service at the booth and tell you more about what God is doing at camp and how you can be involved. Another way that you can support in the building of God's kingdom through camp ministry is through prayer. In this upcoming season, we would appreciate prayer as we do our summer staffing, as we're interviewing young people who are sharing how they are passionate about Christ and how they want to use their gifts this summer. Prayer for our camp property as we head back out there in just a week and we start to prepare things for the kids that are coming out, for the school groups that are coming out. We have secular schools that come use the property and our staff get to lead the kids in different activities. We get to know the staff of the school, the kids. It is an opportunity to share the gospel, to share who Jesus is with those people. You can pray for our campers that their hearts would be prepared for a week at camp, and that the Holy Spirit would move through our staff as we share the good news and show Christ's love. But regardless of if you are involved in ministry or not, God has prepared you and equipped you to do good works for His glory, wherever He has placed you, whatever your circumstances are, as we live with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So I encourage you today to keep walking boldly in faith, staying in step with the Holy Spirit and pursuing spiritual transformation as we all live in God's goodness every day. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. I'm going to call the worship team back up. God, you are so good to us. Thank you, God, that you have equipped us all with different giftings that point back to your glory. God, that you have called us to reach out to your children who they don't know you yet. God, I pray that you would inspire our hearts today just with a joy and aliveness in you as we experience you every day. God, that we would live out loud, that we would show what it is to be alive in you, not just existing on this earth, but pouring out with praises of your name and pointing all things back to your glory, God, whether that is recognizing your creation, talking about your word, digging deep into your words, we can share that with others. God, you have given us a purpose and you call us to live a life that is in step with you. So thank you, Lord, that we get to experience you through each other every day, that you are using us to point each other closer to you, to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for your great love for us, for your mercy, for your grace. God, you are so good. In your name, amen.
Would you stand with us as we worship him?
Jesus, my Lord. Close with these words as we continue on in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and on to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what all the saints, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or all that we think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve our God and Savior in all that we do and in all that we say, all that we think.